This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hum Day crew, and here's another one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Ads, I am so excited. I'm beginning to tremble and spark. I feel like I'm on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I think we're all going to have to dive into the Pacific Blue just to command and conquer our excitement.
I know. Everyone's excited. Jenny, Becca, even Slayton Kelly. And then came Lola.
Lola? She's excited too? And here I thought she would have lost the touch after being out at the wedding. I thought with all this gay propaganda, there would have been some casualties.
Well, I guess there's no use playing the pretender when we're about to go three-way.
Time to break the martial law and cross your X's and O's, because our next guest could even give Chicago hope.
I guess we have to stop now and welcome Kathy DeBorno to the Hump Day crew.
Oh my god, that was amazing. Really, really funny, you guys. It was like a Mad Libs of titles and stuff. That was really fun.
Well, the thing in Australia here is we have a lot of time on our hands. We just constantly Google.
I love it. That was really fun.
We were actually reading up about you over the past couple of days, and one thing I found really interesting is in Hollywood, it's common that once gay roles are taken on board, especially by gay actors, that there's a likelihood to be typecast. But the unique quality that you have is that you actively seek these roles and you prefer playing them.
Yeah, I really enjoy playing those roles. It's what I know. It's what my life is. It's what my life is reflected in the media. And, you know, most of us grew up without having any gay stories reflected back to us, and I think they're important and interesting, and I'm having a great time doing them.
Have you found any prejudice against you by being... I know some other actors prefer to keep their sexuality to themselves because they're scared of that happening.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I'm back in the game of acting after having left. Right before I did Out of the Wedding, I had left acting about 5 or 6 years prior to that. And I went back to school, and I had taken up a whole new career path. I'm a psychotherapist now. And I actually went back to school and got my master's in psychotherapy. And then Lee Friedlander, who directed Out at the Wedding, had looked me up and asked me to come and audition for Risa in Out at the Wedding. And I actually told her that I wasn't acting anymore, and I was very happy doing what I was doing. But she really wanted me to come, and when she read this, we had met on something previously, a previous project, and when she read the script, she really saw me playing Risa, so she really kept on me until I read the script and then fell in love with it myself. So it was a gay role in the gay film industry and the gay media that actually brought me back into the world of entertainment and acting. So I haven't found it an obstacle for me. I've found it what's brought me back.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of a different take on it than a lot of people. I know for a lot of people, once their sexuality comes into question, it limits the roles that they can play and the things that they can do. But I sort of came back in order to play the gay roles.
What was motivating your decision to leave acting when you did and pursue the psychotherapy?
Well, I had been doing Star Trek and some other things. I was having a good time. I was making a living. I wasn't hitting that career where you're rich or you're famous or anything like that, but I was making a decent living, and it just sort of, I reached a point where it wasn't fulfilling enough. I wasn't getting to play roles that were challenging enough or that I identified closely with enough or that I cared about, and I felt like I had just run the gamut with it, and I lost interest, and I wanted to do something more with my life and something more in the world. I've always been interested in psychology and psychotherapy.
Before you took on the degree in clinical psychology and before you became an actor, you were actually training for the Olympics. I heard you're quite a good volleyball player, and because you're so tall, were you constantly put into the role of the spiker?
I was a volleyball player. I played for the University of Kentucky. It was a top five Division I ball. It was real competitive. I was getting looked at for the Olympic team, and then I blew out my ACL, so I had my knee repaired. But interestingly, the league that I played in, I was considered small and scrappy. There were girls there that were much bigger than me.
Whoa.
But I was playing the role of a tall player. I was playing a middle blocker and a middle attacker, which is normally someone who's super tall, but I could jump high. So I was playing against girls who are like 6'3 and 6'4, and I'm 6 feet tall. So while that's tall. In the league that I was playing in, I was considered one of the smaller attackers.
Wow, I was thinking that you'd have a field day, like spiking the ball over the net, but you actually had girls taller than you. I had no idea. Before meeting Ashley Judd, did you ever want to pursue acting prior to that?
I did. I had thought about it. I was so engrossed in sports and athletics since the age of about five that I never really had any time to do anything else. I was very committed to being an athlete and then more specifically a volleyball player. But yes, I had considered it, which is why when I was at UK, I went and auditioned for those plays and I got to actually work with Ashley because I really loved it and I really wanted to sink my teeth into it a little bit more. So it was nice to have her back up and have her sort of step up and encourage me to move forth.
What was it about acting that just inspired you to immerse yourself in that for a while? I hear different performers seem to be attracted to different elements of the idea of being an actor. What attracted it for you?
Oh, sure. I think for me, I'd always been attracted to the idea of trying my hand at it, and I like the idea of the exploration of the psychology of characters. And when a character is really well developed, there's nothing more exciting for me than to see it written well and to see a story told well where the psychology of the character was gotten right. And then it's the challenge for the actor to sort of put that on and try to sort of step into that and encompass that and tell this person's story in a way where the viewer can feel the story and have a cathartic experience. And there's nothing like being understood, right? I mean, we all enjoy when we're understood. And when you can take a character and play it in a way where people can walk away feeling something about that character or about themselves, it's satisfying. You feel like you've accomplished something.
Do you think having a degree in clinical psychology has really helped you understand the characters you're given to play?
Yeah, I mean, I went to school for acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I believe that it was, you know, almost 10 years later when I got my master's degree in clinical psychology that really helped me understand how to take on, you know, how to maybe approach a character differently or to maybe understand more about people's defenses and how they work and gave me more tools that I can choose from.
So I'm seeing a bit of a trend. Would I be right in saying that you really enjoy learning and understanding how people tick and function?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to be a profiler for the FBI. In fact, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine before you called. I love psychological profiling, and I love the whole study of that. It's got some art to it as well. And the thing about that is if you want to be a profiler for the FBI, you've got to be a field agent first, and I didn't really want to spend a lot of time doing that. So I never went in that direction. But yeah, there's definitely something about following the trail of a person's psychology and understanding how it was built and the things that influence it that I find really interesting.
Your whole philosophy, Kathy, with the CDB network, being a speaker and being a licensed therapist, it all seems to be based on helping people. Do you think growing up, because you said you didn't have a figure to sort of turn to, do you think that really motivates you?
You know what? I grew up as a middle child. I had an older sister and a younger sister. And I felt like a mediator a lot of the times. There's a unique perspective when you are an older sister and a younger sister and when you have an older sister and a younger sister. And I felt, I think that whole middle child mediator syndrome thing, there's something to that. And I think that really influenced my choices as well.
Kathy, tell us a little bit about the CDB crew or network.
Well, I started my video blog, What's Your Problem, on After Ellen. And it was kind of a play on the fact that I'm an actor, but I'm also a psychotherapist. So we thought we would do something fun where we could, you know, keep it in the realm of the entertainment world, but offer people some insight and give people the opportunity to ask questions. And what I found was I get letters from people all over the world. You name a place in the world, I have gotten that letter. And the common thread that I had running through it is there's a lot of gay people out there who feel completely isolated and who feel like they're the only one and who feel scared to death. And there are, you know, several thousand of cultural differences for any of these people, the language, the religion, where they are in the world. But the thing that is the same is that they all feel alone and they don't know where to go to find support or people to talk to. And some of them are on the verge of suicide. Some of them are getting addicted. Some of them have eating disorders. And I can't really help those people in one video blog with one quick fix answer. But what I felt they truly needed was to either move to a community where they could be around people that understand them. And if that's not possible, which, let's face it, that's a difficult thing to do, to get up and move, I wanted to provide a community. And so on my website at kathydebono.com, I have chat rooms and I have forums and I have video players where, you know, I'll go live sometimes and just talk to people. And there's people in the chat rooms on my site all the time, and they call themselves, they've named themselves the CDB crew, I think is adorable, and they support each other, and they've helped each other come out, they've helped each other deal with rape and all kinds of horrible traumatic things that they were otherwise going through alone before. And they can just go into the chat room and be with each other. So I just built it on my website, and I wanted to give people a place to go, and I wanted to mention it on your show too, because if one more person can go there and feel less alone in the world, then it's worth it.
Have you had any success stories from individuals that have been part of that crew?
Oh, yeah. Well, I started this whole thing over Dinosaur weekend when I brought my cell phone to Dinosaur, and I tried to give them live broadcasts of what was going on, because there's a lot of girls around the world who don't get to see, like, look how many gay women there are. I wanted to show them. I wanted them to be able to feel it and taste it. And they met each other in the chat room over that weekend, and they've donned themselves the CDB crew. And apparently, I got some letters afterwards, there were five or six of them who were never thinking about coming out of the closet, and they were, you know, trying to plan their lives as to how they could possibly marry a man and continue to live in the closet. And they didn't even know that they had this option to come out and to be authentic and to take care of themselves. And something about being in the chat room with other people gave them the strength and the support they needed to just own their lives a little bit more, and they came out. So I have these coming out stories of these five or six girls from around the world. There was another girl who's in the UK who found support in the chat room to be able to go to the authorities and report that she was raped when she was 14. She's got a daughter now, and she's 18, and she has hidden it from everyone because she felt ashamed of being raped. And having told her story, the people in the CDB chat room have become her friends and have become people she can go to for support, and she feels empowered now. And she's reporting this to authorities in the UK, and she started therapy there, and she feels empowered, and she feels like her life can be her own again. So, you know, I feel like I've done just a small thing by giving. They just needed, it's sort of like build it and they will come. I knew from the emails that I was getting that these people just needed each other. They needed to find each other and be able to talk to each other.
It must be amazing to see such a progress, Kathy, because all, like you said, all it took was a simple step to provide a voice for a community that
right.
is very hidden. It must be so amazing to watch their process and watch them evolve and come out, because that helping someone through that kind of journey of self-realization and self-love is probably the most beautiful gift you could give anyone.
Oh, it's amazing. It's very rewarding. They move me on a daily basis with the notes that they send me, and They sometimes like to keep me up to date on a problem that's changed for them or how they're progressing, and I'm moved by those girls on a daily basis.
I'm intrigued when you said that you've been getting messages from all around the world. Where are some of the more, I guess, lesser-known countries that you've heard from?
Oh, I've gotten emails from girls in foxholes in Iran who are sneaking to watch the video blog because they're military and they can't let anyone know. I've gotten letters from the Netherlands, Iceland. There's a lot of girls in Greece who are hiding and they can't find each other. Japan, China, Guam, the Philippines, Central America, Canada, almost everywhere.
Wow.
Almost everywhere. There's been at least one person who has written a note and asked what to do. And a lot of those questions are, tell me how to be straight, or tell me how to not have to come out. And I don't have that answer. I can't give them that answer.
I think, does that break your heart when they ask you a question like, how do I be straight?
Oh, yeah. Of course it does. And I'm also glad that they ask it, because at this point, if you've gotten to know me well enough to write to me and ask me that question, you know what I'm going to tell you. And it's sort of sweet that they just want to be smacked in the face and told that that's not an option. You're
yep.
not going to do that.
The CDB crew, I hear now that you've just launched T-shirts.
I didn't do that. They did that on their own, and they're really cute. And they designed them, and they're going to... I hope they send me one. I'd love to see them.
They seem to be a nice blue color. We might have to get one, Ads, just to
yeah.
wear when we're doing the interview.
Sounds
yeah.
good. Tell us a little bit about some of the shows and projects that you've got going.
Well, And Then Came Lola is a feature that's coming to the festivals right now. And my girlfriend and fellow actress Jill Bennett and I just co-produced and starred in a web series called We Have to Stop Now. And you can find it on my website as well. And Suzanne Westenhofer, who's a comedian you guys probably know, she plays our therapist, and we play two therapists who are in therapy trying to stay together, but their book that they've written together has gone number one on the New York Times bestseller list, so now they've got to try to make it work. It's a comedy I'm really proud of it. It's a gay show, but there are no gay jokes. There are no dildos. There is no overt sex. And what I mean by that is it's not your basic gay entertainment that you see a lot of, that we're sort of saturated with right now. I think it kind of takes it to the next level. I think it kind of takes it to the next level where you're watching the lives that we all live and how normal they are and how rooted in regular relationships they are.
One thing about We Have to Stop Now, is there a second season in project at the moment?
We're hoping for there to be. We're in development with it right now, and we're in negotiations with a network for that right now, but that may or may not happen. So we're kind of looking at our options. We want to do a second season, and we're probably going to make that happen, but it's just a matter of, are we going to do it with a network, or are we going to try and fund it independently?
Some of the other projects I've heard that you're on, we've heard you're going to be starring in the film Spitfire.
Yeah, Gina wrote a novel called Spitfire about a lesbian firefighter, and she contacted me and asked me if she could pull the funds together, would I play Dylan in the film? And I said, yeah, sure, of course, let me see your script and let me check it out. And Gina, of course, we call her Gina Class because she's just a very classy lady. And she published her book, and we did a fun photo shoot for that. And if we can pull the funding together, then yeah, we'll be doing that.
Fantastic. One question I do have to ask you is, what is your favorite thing about Australia?
You know what? My first gut reaction is Muriel's Wedding. I loved it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. When I think Australia, I think Muriel's Wedding. That's how little I know about Australia.
Please don't base all your assumptions on that one movie. We're not all like that. We're sitting here getting slightly paranoid.
No, I'm not assuming anything. I'm just assuming that Toni Collette is a really good actor.
Yes, you can assume that. That's correct. Yep.
She's fantastic.
Now, we have a game we like to play with all of our guests at the end of our interviews. It's called 101 Questions. We're not actually going to ask you 101 questions. We're going to get you to choose a number between 1 and 101, and we'll ask you that corresponding question. So hit us with a number.
72.
Can you change a washer on a tap?
Yes, I can.
So you're a very do-it-yourself kind of lady, are you?
Yes.
Oh, good, because I've got a couple that are dripping at the moment. If you wouldn't mind dropping around sometime this week, that'd be great.
For me to come to Australia, I'll do that for you.
Always a call-out fee with plumbers, isn't it? Always.
Hit us with another number, Kathy.
38.
What's your favourite TV show?
Dexter.
That's that psychology coming into it again, isn't it? You like the fascination of the getting into the minds. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, it fits the bill.
And one last number between 1 and 101.
12.
Have you fulfilled your dreams yet?
No, there are so many.
What's still for Kathy DeBono to do?
God, why do I have to pick number 12? That's a hard one. I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you guys on that one. That's like more of an essay question.
Well, we expect a whole submission by the 18th of June.
Yeah. Okay. 5,000 words on our desk by Friday, please.
Okay, I'll do that.
Kathy, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure chatting to you and learning a lot about your CDB network, which is, I think, will be very valuable to some people here in Australia as well.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the phone call. And that little opening you guys did was amazing.
Hey, it's Ginny from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for tuning into one of our podcasts and for supporting Joy 94.9 and the Hump Day Crew. We will catch you next Wednesday from 6:30 a.m.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.